Okay, good morning. Let's begin with a word of prayer. And last 2 days I've been under the weather, so just pray that my voice will get us through this morning. And because it's either me or James Webb has said he's going to come up and finish reading it. So I think you want to pray that I'll be able to finish the reading. And so let's... oh... All right, so let's begin with a word of prayer, and then we'll move in. And Brian, it's 218. Brian, we're going to sing 218. He leadeth me. All right, let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, there are so many reasons, functions that benefit us in regard to the local assembly that Jesus Christ established it before he left planet Earth. To be at your hand. And Father, we pray that just continue to use this assembly, fulfilling these functions, the communion, and just the prayer, offering, singing, studying your word, fellowshipping, encouraging one another, Father. So many wonderful things that the assembly can do and should do. Father, we pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen. All right, Brian.
Okay. Wow. All right, this is song 218. If you would, please stand and join us. Number 218.
Waters.
Okay, thank you. Let's see how we're doing as far as prayer and things in that respect. Terry, how's Thomas doing?
With school right now, that he's staying home to get schoolwork done. He's got a lot of work.
I tried to use that when I was in college, but I just decided, oh, well. And how is McKenzie?
I'm good.
Do y'all go to the same school? Good.
My heart monitor is just kind of annoying, but other than that.
Your heart monitor is doing what?
It's just like in the way of everything.
Yeah. It's not very comfortable.
Yeah, no.
No, I know. I had to wear it. So, how are you doing, though?
I'm good. It hasn't fluttered or anything yet with the monitor on.
Have you had any problems, any stirrups? Okay, very good. All right, keep us posted. All right. Very good. Now, any other prayer requests that I need to be aware of? Yes, Julie?
Just continue to pray for the Bible study at my work. Because last week, there's only one turnout. So a lot of people were just like too busy or something happened to them. Like a friend of mine who wanted to come, but her husband was trying to commit suicide. So he had to be at the hospital with him.
Wow.
So something
that's serious.
Yeah. So please pray for us.
We'll continue to be in prayer. That's very good. I'm happy you're trying to get that started again. Yes, sir.
A friend of ours, he had a heart attack.
All right. What's his first name?
Andrea.
Okay. All right. Let's be in prayer. And any other prayer requests? And please be in prayer for Eve. Eve's taken on a lot of responsibility that really isn't her responsibility. And it's making its wear on the lady. So please be in prayer for Eve that this can be taken care of and she can come back and worship with us on a regular basis. Yes, sir.
She had another seizure yesterday, so she went to the emergency room, got out yesterday afternoon. So
she's out?
Yes, she's out now. But she'll continue taking the medicine. She's just in denial. So.
What did they think was the reason for the seizure yesterday?
She had epilepsy, but she didn't believe that, so she didn't take the medicine and stuff. And now she's going to have consequences, no driving.
Now she's going to take it a little more serious.
Yep.
Seriously, yeah.
But, you know, God really protected her yesterday. I mean, this incident happened at work. She was not driving. You know, her work had somebody there that helped her until the ambulance got there. And it was a huge blessing because, it, you know, now she can say, okay, I have this. So,
I hope she will.
Mm-hmm.
She can't drive for 6 months.
Well, until the neurologist clears her.
Do what?
She can't drive 6 months or until the neurologist clears her.
Oh. Now, in a deal like that, do they take away your license?
Well, you know.
I think so. I don't think they physically take your license, but I think if you get caught driving and that you have with the state, then yeah, you'll get in trouble.
So it's on the police record, but not on any place. The policeman that stops her would be able to see.
Yes.
All right. Yes, sir.
I had seizures when I was young. What they told me was they don't take your license, but if you drive and you have a seizure and you kill somebody, it's murder.
Yeah.
It's murder. Wow. Well, that gets serious. Y'all are talking too heavy this morning.
My goodness.
Wow. All right. Any other prayer requests that we need to be aware of? Please continue to be in prayer for Judith's brother, Ronnie, and her son-in-law, Dennis. And people, as I say, we got to be in prayer for each other. There's not a shadow of a doubt in my mind that almost every one of you have a serious prayer request, but we don't say it. So we need to be in prayer for each other. If you're in the battle, then you're in the battle. And there's going to be conflict. So we need to know that and be in prayer for each other. So please be in prayer. Chris, how are things going for Slam?
Going well. We got a lot of apps we need to get in. So we don't know, really have a handle on how many kids we're going to have there yet. But we've got the staff that are in place to start taking off. And planning sessions start on the 22nd.
Okay.
So 2 weeks.
Okay? Now, that slam, how you doing on getting ready for the summer?
Summer? Wow. Yep. It's coming this summer.
You want a prayer request? Summer. So that'll be your prayer request.
Yeah.
The word of God declares, whatsoever man purposeth his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. Now the gracious giver, first of all, is one who has personally believed in Jesus Christ as Savior by faith alone, but also one who knows how to be filled with the Spirit. There's a lot of talk about the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, but when it comes down to how am I filled with the Holy Spirit, there's the battle. And you got to understand, it's patterned after our salvation. In our salvation, we were dead. By faith, we became alive eternally. Now, in our life, when we sin, death, temporal, not eternal, and the only way we can come alive again is by faith, the same pattern, faith in the Holy Spirit. So, the Holy Spirit can guide us in this respect. Then it's a matter of understanding a lot of Scripture. It's understanding people that what you give here is in the invisible warfare. It's in the eternal warfare. Not physical, not buildings and all that. It's the spiritual warfare, the getting the gospel out. So with these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offering by prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this assembly, the opportunity to come, to study your word, to understand it, the consistency of it all the way through, your plan, your glory, who and what you are. And Father, we just pray now that you'll receive these offerings. You will continue to use this assembly in the spreading of the gospel, teaching others about Christ. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen.
Son will be given, government shall rest on his shoulders, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, and I think it symbolizes, Solomon symbolizes our Lord, when he says in Solomon, his mouth is sweet, yes, it's altogether lovely. This is my beloved and this is my friend.
It's one. rock of ages, and his lip of love amazes, and he gives me strength and courage to follow him every day. He's behind, he guides me, he restores my soul, and hides me in his loving arms. He comforts me. He's this wonderful Savior of mine.
Give Angel a copy. She needs it right here. You got it? Okay. And does anyone else not have it? Okay. One of the reasons a lot of pastors do not teach on the rapture, what happens after the rapture, the tribulation, the millennium, not so much because they don't believe it. They don't even know it. They don't even understand it. And it causes division. There's a lot of division over when the rapture is going to occur, if there's even going to be a rapture. A lot of people are what we call preterists. They believe a lot of these passages are past. They happened in 70 AD with Rome coming into Israel. And I often think, well, I get that kind of an excuse because it causes division and can't be all that sure and all that. To me, there is no more one doctrine more polluted than the gospel itself. The gospel itself. A man that's in charge and head of, I guess, close to a billion people, they say now, the Pope. I don't even know if he knows Jesus. I really mean that. I read everything that he says when he goes to these countries and people. Never mentions Jesus. Never. Ever. And he's on a socialistic program and how the world needs to take care of everybody else. My answer to that is, well, let's empty the Vatican, and that'll take care of a lot of people. You have a couple of billion sitting in there. Let's just take that out and feed the poor. Why do you demand everybody else do it, but you don't? But that isn't even my problem, the gospel. People, there are just so many things we have to know in truth from this word. Understanding accurately, truthfully, and presenting it, the gospel, not being ashamed of it. And then, of course, God's control of history, which is what we're in the midst of studying in Matthew 24 and 25. Let's begin with the word of prayer. Purpose of this prayer, test yourself, see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit. He's the teacher, not me. And boy, am I thankful for that. He's the one who will teach you. He's the one that will open your eyes to the truth of Scripture. So let's begin with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this book. And we do understand it is the most dangerous thing we will do in our life is to open this book. There are just so many different ways we can see and understand. But Father, our objective is the truth. What is the Word of God saying? So therefore, we're totally dependent upon your Spirit to open our eyes to the truth. We pray this morning your Spirit will open our eyes, have us see the things you'd have us to see in this passage. Father, we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, this morning we begin Matthew 24, 23. Now, just to recall, let's go back 22. And unless those days had been cut short, no life would have been saved, but for the sake of the elect, those days were cut short. Now, you want to go back even further to verse 15, which you have the middle of the tribulation, the middle of the 3.5 years, and then 3.5 years later. And now, verses 23 through 28, very interesting. That's a lot of verses of the Bible. And you know what they're about? Beware of being deceived. That's what they're about. Don't be deceived. Let's just read them, and then we're going to go back and work on them in a verse-by-verse method. But verse 23, then, Now then is a time frame after the abomination is set up. Then if anyone says to you, behold, there is the Christ, or no, there he is, do not believe him. For false Christ, false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders. These are supernatural acts, so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told you in advance. If therefore you say, if they say to you, behold, he's here in the wilderness, do not go forth, do not go out of Petra. Or, behold, he is in the inner rooms, private, secret, do not believe him. Now, the coming of the Lord. For just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. What is he saying here? Let me tell you one thing he's saying. It's not going to be private. You're not going to have anybody tell you. Nobody has to tell us. That's lightning. Nobody's going to have to tell us that. Nobody's going to have to say, Christ, there he is. This is going to be so dramatic throughout the whole world. This is going to be dramatic. Excuse me just a moment. Chris, why don't you go back and help her get a chair? She's crutches, and that hurts me to see her standing that long. There you go. Now, do you need another chair to put your leg up on, hon? Okay, very good. I would, but that's okay. Thank you for coming crippled. Good grief. I know people that are well are not here. All right. Now, so, his coming, you're not going to have to be told. No one's going to have to tell you. There he is. Don't be deceived. So now let's go back and take a look at these verses in context. Verse 23. Then, if anyone says to you, behold, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe him. You should be alert so as to what the truth is and what is false. Jesus Christ began this whole entire discussion on the tribulation with the disciples in verses 4 and 5 with, do not be deceived. Verse 4, and Jesus answered and said to them, see to it, no one misleads you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. Now, let me just talk with you. What's happening here is it's going to be hell on earth. And people, when things are in turmoil, what do we look for? Somebody to help. Somebody to lead us out. And if you believe in a Messiah, where is he? That's the one that's going to help us out of this. So it's just going to be added, here he is, here he is, here he is. All of these are of the Antichrist. All of these are of the beast. They're not true. But that's what the environment is going to set up. Okay. Now, Jesus is going to spend some six verses, 23 through 28, on the issue of not being deceived and how powerful Satan is to deceive. People, that's what you have to understand. If I had a daughter, she was reaching an age where boys were something real, I tell you what, almost every day, I would teach her about the flatterer, the con artist, the wolf. I would teach her all the time and how to recognize a true young man, a generous young man, a polite young man, and how to recognize the wolf. You've got to know the truth. This is so important. We've seen this before. The FBI does not train over and over how to recognize false or counterfeit bills. They spend their time mastering looking at a true one. You know the true one, and a false one comes up, this is false. This doesn't line up with the truth. You've got to know the truth. That's the whole issue. Okay, people, this is while this is speaking of the tribulation, the first 3.5 years and the second 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation, believers in the church age need to be so careful so as not to be deceived by false teachers or charlatans who can make a lie sound so good. I'll tell you what, people. Yes? Yes. That's going to be it. And when we come to that verse, you'll see what's happening. That's why the con artist, Satan, is going to deceive a lot, all the people. All except the elect, because the elect know the truth. The elect know the true bill. Not that they don't recognize the counterfeit. But that's going to add to the problem. So let's get there. Do what? Any what? Oh, yeah. They'll be. Let me tell you what's going to be. 144,000 Jews ministering. Angels will come and teach. Angels. God is going to send angels during the Great Tribulation to proclaim the truth, to make sure everybody knows the truth. And then there'll be, yes, pastors who will know the truth. All right. Okay, the word elect, didn't we study it last week in the verse? I thought, anyway, the elect is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, in the doctrine of divine decrees, made a decision. Whoever believes that my Son Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior, I elect them to be with me for all eternity. Now, that is not personal election. That is a decision made by God. I will elect whoever believes in Jesus Christ. They are elect into the eternal state. It's like I like to use the example. It's like a parents. They get together. They have a discussion. Okay? Our son, daughter, getting the age where marriage is a probability. Let's make a decision. Are we going to elect to accept whoever he or she marries, or if they marry this kind of person, they can go on their own? How are we going to do that? God the Father made a decision. Whoever, whatever kind of scoundrel, charlatan, wonderful, whatever person believes that Jesus is the Messiah, they're elect. Because they're in the elect. The election has already taken place. All who believe in Christ, they're in the elect. Does that help? Okay. Now, it's amazing how careful some people are when choosing a doctor, but will sit under someone in a church who does not teach sound doctrine. 2 Timothy 4:3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Getting up close to the end of the church age. When they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled. That means, well, they just love what's being said about them, how wonderful they are. And I don't mind saying it. It's like a Joel Osteen type of presentation. You feel really good. And that's what's going on. Huh? But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. People, it's so important. You'll learn a lot about yourself whom you listen to teaching the Bible. Will anyone do? That's fine. That tells you a lot about yourself. This person needs to understand some things about the Bible. Needs to understand some things about the gospel. About all of these things. In other words, how do you pick whom you're going to sit under and listen to? It's very important. Okay, opening the Bible is the most dangerous thing you will do. Now, I remember, I taught that here. All of y'all just sat here, yeah, that's right. I went to John Henson's church years ago, and I taught that, and man, did some people get braced. And there were two couples visiting. One couple so reacted, never came back. The other couple is one of his primary deacons, supports, and friend. It's just amazing how you understand and how you take what's going on. Why is opening the Bible the most dangerous thing you will do? Because people, you can see it as a lie. You can see the truth. You've got to understand the Word of God, or you'll be so misled. The Isaiah 28 passage that we study often. This is important, and it's so dangerous. Who you give your ears to in teaching the Word of God. It's just dangerous. Now, therefore, you should be most careful whom you listen to in the teaching of the Word of God. A careful study of 1 Corinthians 2 and 3, which we have done, is an excellent guide and warns us on choosing a pastor teacher. Now, as he describes the last 3.5 years, Jesus Christ describes the last 3.5 years, the Great Tribulation, he warns against being deceived. The Greek adverb translated then at the opening of verse 23 doesn't indicate any particular phase of time. But here, in this passage, it is after the abomination is set up. So sometime in the Great Tribulation, these false claims will come into play to entice the Israelites. In times of trouble, people are always looking for a deliverer, a Messiah. Now, I'm at an age point where a lot of you are not. You just loved a John Wayne movie. Because no matter how bad things were come, when he walked in, whew, John's here. The Duke's here. It's going to be all right. And there was just scenes where he's standing there, sitting on a horse, and there's men all around him with gun braces. Y'all are all under arrest. I mean, you got to love that kind of guy. That's the way he is. See? And so, this is what we're dealing with. Alright. The motivation for being deceived is a desire to come to Christ. You understand that? You got a right desire, so you're easily deceived. And this is not unlike growing up. If I had a daughter, you're getting in an age, you're thinking about marriage, all this type of thing. That's a natural, wonderful thing. But there's a lot of warnings that go with that. A lot of warnings. You've got to be warned of a lot of things. The desire is not bad. The desire is not wrong. The desire is not dirty. To have sex and all that's not dirty. That's not wrong. This comes with warnings. You want to have a lot of warnings. And that's what we're dealing with here. These people may desire the Messiah. They may desire for all this great tribulation to end. Easily deceived. At the heart of this warning by Jesus Christ is the all importance of having a relationship with Jesus Christ. There are so many areas of being deceived. For example, one may give full devotion to God. However, Jesus Christ teaches that the only way to the Father is through Him. So you're listening to someone and they're talking about God. They're using the word grace. They're using the word love. They're using the word faith. But they don't mean what you mean. They don't mean the truth. But they're using the right words. But they're not talking about Jesus Christ. They give great allegiance to God. But people, God, coming to God is not sufficient. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but through me. So it's through the understanding of who and what Jesus Christ is. And then there are those who are deceived by false teaching that the way to Christ or to God the Father is by doing. Do and do, do and do. I was tempted right here to go back to Isaiah 28 and go through that again. But I hope you understand it enough now. That what a lot of people see in the Bible, and it's the way a lot of preachers are, do and do, do and do, do and do. For salvation one, eternal life. Salvation two, spirituality. You've got to do something. The truth is, there's nothing I can do. I am dead as an unbeliever, even as a believer, carnal. I'm dead. The only thing that will attain to his grace is faith. By grace through faith. Okay, so, by do and do, they never get you to Christ. By grace through faith, which is the only way to Jesus and the only way to God the Father, and I should have put down the only way to the Holy Spirit. So Jesus warns them of a truth that applies to the church age, while it is essential in the tribulation. Context, tribulation. Application, church age. Do not be deceived by false Christ. Jesus Christ will now spend some 6 verses warning not to be deceived by false Christ. So the question arises, why? Why this great emphasis on not being deceived by false Christ? Why the rise of all these claims to be the Christ? Why would they be so deceived? What is the Antichrist doing at this time? Alright, I got 2 points to answer. From the standpoint of the Jews, first, the horror of distress of the times of the Great Tribulation. will cause many to be looking for a, not necessarily the Messiah, but a Messiah to put an end to all the killings and evil, all their heartaches and fears. It is from the flesh nature that they will be desiring this relief. Secondly, those Jews who do know a little scripture know that he is coming, but do not know enough scripture to be warned against going after a false Messiah. We come back to that principle of identifying counterfeit money, to be trained in identifying the real money. The more acute you are of a true dollar, the minute you look at one that's not, wrong. Pass right by me. All I'm glad is it's a dollar. Let me have it. But not them. They'll look at it, say, no, that's false. So this is the idea of knowing the truth. Okay, a good student of the Word of God, Daniel, Revelation, Isaiah, and I'm sorry, Ken, I should have put Zephaniah, will know what to look for in the coming of the true Messiah. Again, I just want to tell you, those of you, you would learn so much if you came to the 9:15 class and heard Kit's work on Zephaniah. Okay, now right here, we're told one thing that can look for to identify the Messiah. Verse 27. For just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Okay. I read that verse. We're not studying it yet, but to show, no, you don't need to listen to, there's the Christ. No. Huh. When he comes, I'll see him. I'll know, is what that verse is telling you. Now, let's take it from the standpoint of the Antichrist, the beast. What's he doing? Dr. Thomas O. Figgett, in his book, The King of the Kingdom of Heaven, a work on Matthew, gives the following from the standpoint of the dictator of the revived Roman Empire. I thought he worded it better than I could. Quote, following the evacuation of Judea, that's the command of Jesus to get out of Jerusalem, the middle of tribulation, the false messengers of Satan will find it necessary to attempt to infiltrate those who have fled to the mountains. First, they will claim that Christ has already appeared, saying, lo, here is Christ, or there. Now, in order to bolster some claims, such claims that they will have, they're going to show great signs and wonders. Two words that are used of Christ's miracles in Acts 2:22. And Martha, here's the problem. These are going to be true signs, miraculous, supernatural. These are not some musician faking you out. These are going to be true things that are done. And you have to understand this. These are going to come with it. I just keep going back. I don't know why. But if I were a parent of a daughter, listen, there are things you're going to see and receive from different guys. Some of them you're going to really like. Why, he brings me flowers and brings me candy and just all this stuff. And that is wonderful. Don't be deceived by it, because it can be faked. It can be a charlatan doing the same thing. You have to enjoy, but be alert. Be on guard. Okay, now, in order to bolster their claims, they will do these supernatural acts. And Acts 22:22, so that their counterfeit ministry, if possible, might deceive the very elect. Obviously, this will fail. They will not deceive the elect. Yet the attempt will be made. And he is trying to lure these in so he can kill them. That's his objective. He wants to kill these Jews. And he is trying to lure them for that very purpose. Remember, Satan's desire is to exterminate all Jews from earth. Jesus Christ gives just a few of the major warning signs of the false Christ. One, beware of following the crowds. Oh, here he is, here he is. Beware of false prophets. Beware of deceiving signs and wonders. Beware of these things. When Jesus Christ did them, wonderful. Charlatan does them, stay back. It's a warning. Now, not only will Satan send in rumors of false Christ, an actual false Christ, but he also sends in false prophets. Their job is the same job as those throughout all the Old Testament of false prophets. Give prophecies that go against the plan of God. I'm going to read Ezekiel, but it'd be like, oh, don't worry about them. Don't worry about those Babylonians out there. You just stay inside. No, Jeremiah said, go out there and surrender to them. We'll be all right. No, you don't worry. No, just stay inside Jerusalem. You'll be all right. They stayed inside Jerusalem. They died. Those that did go out, listen to the word, they lived. So it's knowing the Word of God and living the Word of God. Ezekiel 22:28. Her prophets have smeared whitewash for them, seeing false visions, divining lies for them, saying, thus says the Lord God, when the Lord has not spoken. We have already noted how 2 Peter spoke of false teachers to the church, false prophets to Israel. The false prophets Jesus Christ speaks of here certainly includes the false prophets of Revelation 13:11-18. I just didn't want to take the time to write those in here, but if you read that passage, you'll see what's going on. One of Satan's strategies or schemes or devices of Satan, 2 Corinthians 2:11, is to combine both political leader and religious leader into one. Revelation 13, you have the political leader in the first 13 verses, and then the spiritual and the religious in the second. This is not unlike the Muslims. We should recognize Islamic movement not as a religious, but as political. It's political religion. They're getting by with a lot because, oh, well, they're religious. They're not against our government. They're just religious. No, people, they are political and they are religious. And they have a design plan against every nation throughout the world. One of the great problems is our leaders are so deceived. We're easily deceived by what's going on. Now, the reason why they are getting away with so much in this country is that most people, politicians, see them only as religious, but they are very political in their objectives. In Revelation 13, Satan joins together political, Revelation 13, 1-10, with religious leaders, Revelation 13, 11-18. We have noted several times that the designation Antichrist is found only in 1 John. That's true, and we've got to be aware of that. But it should be noted in a careful study of the Bible that the designation in verse 24, false Christ, conveys the very same concept of Antichrist in 1 John. In fact, it helps us understand what the prefix is saying. Antichrist can be one who is against Christ, or it can be one trying to take the place of Christ. And that's what we have here. So, the preposition prefix in Antichrist is from in front of Christ. Antichrist does not mean against or in opposition to Christ, but rather a false Christ is what is being talked about. This person is known by many names: beast, Antichrist, the man of sin, the man of lawlessness in 2 Thessalonians 2. And joining together is clearly seen in Revelation 19:20. Now what you're going to be reading here, the joining together of the political and religious. So let's see what Revelation 19:20 has to say. And the beast, political authority, was seized, and with him the false prophet, religion, false religion, who performed the signs in his presence by which he deceived. Now we're talking here about the false prophet. The false prophet who performed signs in his, that's the beast, presence, by which he, the false prophet, deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image, those who were thrown alive into the lake of fire which burns with brimstone. Now this next point is a little parenthetical remark. Don't let anyone ever tell you there is no hell, there is no lake of fire. It's in the Bible. There is going to be one. It has not been established yet, but it is there, going to be there. There it is, and the Word of God makes this very clear. The reference to the false prophet certainly includes the false prophets Jesus Christ speaks of here in Matthew 24. Now, the false signs and wonders spoken of by Jesus in verse 24 also certainly include those spoken of in Revelation 19:20, which we just read. What is so intriguing is that this wording, signs and wonders, are also used to describe the miracles of Jesus Christ and His apostles. So how are we going to handle this? What are we going to do? Okay, next paragraph. We must remember that while Satan is the first murderer and the father of lies, the hater of God, he is a supernatural being, supernatural, above nature, and therefore can use nature to the degree God allows him in his presenting himself. I think one of the interesting stories is when Moses up there threw his staff, became a snake. So the charlatans of the Pharaoh, they threw theirs and theirs became snakes. The problem broke down when Moses' snakes ate Pharaoh's snakes. But what I want you to understand is they can do these. They'll be able to do it. We have seen him do this in the Old Testament, but he is at his best in the tribulation. The miracles described here are real. Revelation 13:13. He, the beast out from the earth, performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down out of heaven to the earth in the presence of men. People, that's impressive. I said, oh, wow, wait a minute. This guy has power. Okay? Verse 14. And he deceives. Remember that in Matthew 24, Jesus Christ warned all believing Jews not to be deceived, those who dwell on the earth, because of the signs which he was given him to perform, given by Satan, in the presence of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image of the beast. That's the abomination that causes desolation, put up in the middle of the tribulation period, who had the wound of the sword and has come back to life. That's a whole other study. Verse 15. And it was given to him to give breath to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast would even speak and cause as many as do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. So these things happen. I'm going to believe him. Look what he's done. Now, in 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 through 12, Paul tells why God gave this power to these creatures. But what is interesting, from the Lord's prophecy of the Great Tribulation and the study of 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 through 12, is that multitude of Jews will be deceived by these signs and wonders. And this is exactly what they were designed to do. They were designed to deceive. What we're seeing here in the tribulation, God separating the Jews who will believe and the Jews who will not. That's what he's doing. The chaff from the wheat. And that's what he's going to be doing. And that's what he's going to be doing at the end of the tribulation. It's going to separate those that believe, those that do not. The fire, baptism of fire for unbelieving Gentiles, baptism of fire for unbelieving Jews. This is what this period is about. All right, verse 24. Yes. 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 No. No. They will be fooled. No, he's not pulling any of the elect away. The elect are saved, stationed there. So it's not going to happen. Okay. Oh, yeah, he's going to try. Absolutely. Absolutely. And people, that's why there are charlatans in the pulpits today who mislead many in regard to the truth of Scripture. And I just, to me, it communicates so clearly. I teach my daughter, there will be charlatans. They will do and say the right things, but their objective is totally wrong. It's not what you want. If I had a son, I would teach him not to be a smooth-talking charlatan. But what we got to understand is they're convincing. Their arguments are convincing. You're going to feel really good. You're going to feel real good. If the guy is really good, like Joel Osteen, you're really good, you're going to fool people. They're going to have their ears tickled by it. going to be sucked right in. But if someone is listening, no, I'm not buying this. I'm not buying this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Christ is the reason that they will be deceived.
Yes.
But it's still their volition that makes the determination that says, yeah, I'm pursuing Christ, but this is what I want.
This is what I want.
Not the true Christ.
Not the true Christ.
Okay.
That's why I always say, when people get real upset when they come out of something that was false. For an example, I've talked to people who come out of the Roman Catholic Church, and they were really angry at the Roman Catholic Church. And I have to say, don't be. That's what you wanted. That's what you wanted. That's why you went there. Now you see the truth. Don't get mad. Just understand your own sin nature. That is what you wanted. So that's the whole idea there. Okay? Okay. Now, Matthew 24:24. For false Christ and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders. So as. Now, the Greek conjunction translated so as joins the preceding clause with the next clause as here giving intent, so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. But we're told in other passages they will not be led astray. It is often difficult to tell a false teacher from a true teacher. At first, you listen long enough, you listen carefully enough, you'll hear the difference. Unless you listen carefully, both will use the words like faith, love, Jesus, gospel, and you're just half listening. Oh, okay, he's talking about grace. Okay, he's talking about Jesus. Okay, he's talking about faith. He's right on. No, he's not. The object of his faith is do and do, do and do. He's not talking about the grace that you know at all. He's not talking about the faith that you know at all. So you've got to be able to discern what's going on. It is often difficult to tell them because they will use these same words. They mean one thing to the false teacher and entirely another thing to the true teacher. And you have to listen in the discerning power of the Holy Spirit. The miracles of Jesus Christ had strong spiritual meaning, while these of the false prophets are nothing more than a display of deceiving flamboyance. Every now and then, and I find this amusing, some Catholic, oh, look at my tree. There's a picture of Jesus on my tree. And boy, the Catholics come around, build a shrine around it, start kissing it, all that other type of stuff. Oh, look at this. People, what's the purpose? What's the purpose? Now, when Christ comes and lightning flashes across the sky so that everyone will see him, there's your purpose, that all will see him and know this is the Christ. And we'll find out what they do. They'll run to the mountains and say, come down on us. Okay, now, so you have to listen to the discerning power of the Holy Spirit. The miracles of Jesus had strong spiritual meaning, while these of the false prophets are nothing more than a display of deceiving flamboyance. We see a lot of this today around the world. Faith healers, charismatics, speaking monosyllables, trying to imitate those of the day of Pentecost, but really are imitating the babbling of a child, Isaiah 28. And those who know and understand Scripture will know that they are seeing and hearing the power of the enemies of Christ. Matthew 24:25. Behold, I have told you in advance. Now, here is another example of spiritual love. I like to make some things practical so we can learn practical living as we go through this. Is a perfect example of spiritual love in action. Jesus is God, looked down the corridors of time, sees what these believers are going to be up against, and his love, seeing a need, he now meets that need. I told you everything you need to know before they even happen. And that's what love does. A caring parent will do that with a child. That's what love does. I'm caring about you. Now, if they don't want to listen, that's on them. But it's my responsibility to teach you, to instruct you, to warn you in advance of what might happen. So these are the things that love does. This is what the love of Christ does. There are several reasons why Jesus Christ tells us things in advance. John 14:29. Now I have told you before it happens, So when it happens, you may believe. If we make application of this principle here in John 14 to Jesus' words in Matthew 24:25, when they see the abomination that causes desolation set up in the temple, let the reader Daniel understand, along with that I have told you about false prophets, false Christ. Believe all that you you have heard and read in the scriptures. John 13:19. For now I'm telling you before it comes to pass, so that when it does occur, you will believe that I am He. Then the one I love the best, John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world, now note the word may, you may or may not. You may or may not have peace. Now, in the world, you have tribulation. Ain't no may about it. You will have tribulation in the world. But take courage. I have overcome the world. Now, Matthew 24:26. So if they say to you, behold, he's in the wilderness, do not go out. Or, behold, oh no, he's in the inner room, do not believe them. In this section, verses 23-28, is based on a foundation premise, their relationship with Christ, their dependency on Him. And when you are in such a search, it's easy to be deceived. No one more easily deceived than a woman looking for a husband. I mean, man, she's up for it. To be deceived, if that's what you want. That's all you want, just a husband. You're just primed for deception. People looking, I gotta have a used car. Man, I mean, a used car salesman just loves you to come in. They got this hot deal over here, driven by grandma, just to church and the grocery store. And, oh, that's wonderful, that's the car I want. And then it breaks down 3 miles out of from the car place. People, you have to be careful. I want to know the truth. Listen carefully to whom you listen to. Okay. And when you're in such a search, you're easily deceived. This happens all through the church age. And many people are deceived by religion, by preachers who do not even know the true gospel, how to be saved. But if you truly seek Him, He will make Himself known to you. But in the great tribulation, there will be no doubt when the Messiah has come. Verse 27. For just as lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. I hope you understand what's happening here in this passage. First he talked about the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. Then the abomination is set up, introducing the great tribulation. And how's the great tribulation going to end? Coming of Christ. Verse 27. It's going to be just like this. Everyone will see His coming. And if we had time, we'd go study how they will cry for the mountains to fall in on them. It will be no secret. It will not be in some private place. Oh, in this room over here He is. Or He's out there in the wilderness. No, I'll see Him when He comes. I'll know. Verse 26. So, if you say, behold, He is here in the wilderness, do not go out. Or behold, He is in the inner rooms, do not believe Him. Verse 27 says, you will not miss His coming. Verse 27, the word flashes. This is the Greek word phano. It comes from the Greek word phos, light. In the transition, this means to appear, to be conspicuous, become visible, to shine. Everyone's going to see Him. Everyone's going to know that's Him. The whole world will see His coming, not in private, but in the public eye. The same word is used of Jesus Christ in verse 30. And then, this we'll cover this next week, and then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. Will appear, it's the same word. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. If you combine verse 27 and 30, it is without question that this speaks of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Verse 27, so it will be, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, the Greek word parousia, which means to be present or coming into a place or arrive. It is most often used for the coming of Christ. Back in Matthew 24:3, what is the sign of your coming? Same word. This word used of the Lord's presence in the second advent, in the passages that I've given for you there, so you can look them up. This section ends with a very interesting statement. Look at this. Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. What in the world is he talking about? And where in the world did that come from? First he's talking about lightning and flashing, and now he talks about corpse and buzzards. Well, we know from the study of Revelation that when Jesus Christ comes, there will be worldwide judgment. Verse 27 refers to the second advent of Christ. Verse 29, Jesus Christ comes with judgment of the whole world. As quickly and suddenly as the lightning flashes, so will be the swiftness and universal judgment at the end of the tribulation. So that where corpses are, buzzards or vultures gather. The King James translates the Greek word eagles, but this really doesn't describe the characteristic of eagles, but of buzzards or vultures. Now, in Matthew 24:29-31, we have more of a description on the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ, which we'll take up next Sunday morning. Let's close in a word of prayer. Y'all owe me 15 minutes. Okay, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the Word of God. There's so much going on in the world today, Father. Anti-Semitism is increasing all over the world. If we didn't know that you were in control, we'd be so in fear. But Heavenly Father, we know that you're in control. We know what you're doing, and we know why. And so, Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to the truth of Scripture. And, Father, pray now you take the things we've seen this morning, allow them to become a reality in our soul, and affect the way we live and the sharing of the gospel. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen.